The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we are back here on Analyze This, wrapping up our conversation about some news we got yesterday that one of our global icons, Tiger Woods, was involved in a single car, single person accident. Of course, Doug Skoll said and Osbert Potter said earlier, the first thing we're concerned about was life. We heard that he was still alive, number one. Number two, the question, were the injuries life-threatening? Then we found out that wasn't the case either. However, he suffered significant injuries to his lower extremities. So now the question is, will he be able to walk, much less compete? So that's our primary concern. And, of course, we got some local golfers here. And a man named Rufus Turnbull sent me a tweet. He said, them boys have a picture of Obama on the golf course with Amos, Ducks, and Sweetback. Not Pata, Sweetback. So, are you get lucky? President Obama be on the golf course, or are you up there?
Is a line with the play golf with President Obama? You know that?
Listen. Let me give you the short version.
Yeah.
It was when the when former President Obama was on the campaign trail for the first for his first try at president.
Yeah.
And we happened to be on the golf course one afternoon, and the director of golf at Mahogany Run came and told us, hey, guys, Obama is on the golf course. And based on our positioning on the golf course at the time, we kind of slow things down a little bit and kind of time it so that when he was coming from one direction, we would be going to the other direction.
Oh.
So, hey, we were able to actually catch candidate Obama right there as he was crossing us, and we stopped him and the security look at us kind of like sideways. We stopped him and we start to like tell him, hey, listen. We actually started giving some campaign tips.
We
tell him, hey, listen, don't be, studying Lou Dobbs,
Don't buy Lou Dobbs.
but you know what? You know that he was here two times before he actually got elected in November 2008, In November 2007, there was a fundraiser we went to over there at the Ritz-Carlton, right? And then the second time, right, he actually came here for Easter because his minister Jeremiah Wright had gotten him in some trouble making some controversial statements, right?
What had happened was
he had struck up a good relationship with Governor DeYoung at the time when he came here with his wife the first go around. So he figured, let me get out of this hot this frying pan up here in Chicago. Let me have my wife and my children them head down the road so we could just clear the air a little bit, get my head together. And that might have been the time the second go around, because he was here for about 2 or 3 days around Easter of that year.
That's when we see him and we tell him, hey, listen, in the Virgin Islands, people like Lou Dobbs and them, don't bother with them. That man is like a clinking cymbal. Just leave him alone. I know Lou Dobbs was after him like crazy. Leave Lou Dobbs alone. Say, don't bother with Lou Dobbs, man. Lou Dobbs just want to hear himself.
As a matter of fact, Lou Dobbs just lose his job with Fox the other day. Because what happened is, and this is one thing we learn about America and a capitalist society, right? They ain't so much concerned with who they empower with respect to Republican and Democrat. They just want to know that their ability to make money ain't on their mind. Right?
Sponsorship dollars.
That's right.
Ones that keep coming in. That's all about.
Yeah. And once they saw that the outgoing president didn't want to embrace a peaceful transition of power, them big corporations, let them know, look, no, I don't call we for nothing no more at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I know, of course, they're going to come back again and everything going to smooth out itself. But for now, they let them know, look, when it comes to our own incapacity and our money, we don't be joking with the bottom line. Okay?
Right.
And that's exactly what happened. So let me segue this question. What message can we give to our young people? because Tiger was lucky that he had a father who pushed him, promoted him. And, you know, Tiger was just gifted from small. Remember, his father brought him on Johnny Carson one night, and he was hitting ball for when he was 1.5, 2 years old. Like, it didn't make any sense how good he was from such a small age. And he actually lived up to all of the hype. What do we tell our young people, Lieutenant Governor Potter, about perseverance, education, and discipline?
Well, listen, they all go together. And if you want to succeed, you have to find some way to discipline yourself to the point where you don't become so bigoted and so big in your own mind that you, number one, can't listen to anybody as far as advice, and number two, believe that after you reach a certain point, I don't have to practice anymore, I don't have to train anymore, I don't have to focus anymore, because that is when you actually need to dig in your heels and get your stuff together as far as you knowing what to do. Listen, we have seen instances of young Virgin Islanders with great talent, I'm not going to call any names, who just had a bad attitude, who just did not want to hear anything from anybody. They could do something here locally and probably dominate here locally in the territory, but then believe that automatically just naturally follow them if they left the territory and go to the mainland. And that is a time when they needed to dig in some more and focus and discipline. But they had bad attitude, and that, in spite of whatever talent they have, that is what derailed them from becoming greater and maximizing their potential.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a simple formula. Your attitude, and I know you have heard that, and people have heard that phrase, Your attitude determines your altitude, but maybe we need to kind of dig that initial piece in the minds and thought processes of young athletes when they are beginning their journey and when they recognize that they have some skills.
Yeah.
And one thing, Neville, quick. I think some of our coaches are individuals that mentor these young people at a young age, they themselves have such bad attitudes sometimes that it just naturally rub off on these young men for the most part, where, you know, you as a coach, you as a manager, would be jumping up and cussing the umpire and kicking up and going through really bad. And your youngsters are watching you there. And what else are they going to learn? That, as far as they're concerned, this is the person that's teaching me all the stuff that I know. And hey,
at that age, they're very impressionable. And,
of course.
And that's why it's important to do that. So you bring up a good point. I mean, mind runner, when you say about coaches, but then St. Thomas, my mind runner, Michael Butte, who has been a supporter for the children baseball for years over St. Thomas as well. Duck School. $1.5 billion in endorsements, $120 million in actual earnings on the golf course. That don't happen unless you have the requisite work ethic and discipline. Talent alone can't give you that kind of money.
Well, Neville, absolutely. And you mentioned a factor there that is most important. Tiger Woods' father was the foundation that he taught him basically everything he knew. And you know, Tiger Woods' father was in the military.
Correct.
He was a military man. And he understood, in order to survive in this world and athletically, you have to be disciplined and you have to be focused. That laser focus is necessary. And I'll give you just just two examples that I was involved in here. We spoke a couple of weeks ago about Rinaldo Turnbull, right? Rinaldo Turnbull was one of the first athletes to be recruited from the Virgin Islands to play for a Division I college. And when he was in high school, we recognized he had the talent, but he was a man who never even used to go to class. Smart dude, you know. But because, as Bud just say, you're big and you know you have talent, you believe you get away with it. When I was able to get in contact with West Virginia to get Doc Holliday to come down and look at him, when he came, he said, listen, the first thing you have to do is be able to pass your SATs.
That's right.
Title. So we'll give you a scholarship. But if you can't pass your SATs, we can't bring you in. But like I said, the brother had the capacity to sit down and able to pass the SATs, right? And he had a family structure that made sure that he did what he was supposed to do. He was able to go on, be a first-round pick, and I think he's in the finances right now. So once he got that push and he was able to envision what his future is going to be, he dealt with it. So that foundation is there. Wade Smith, out of St. John, who went to West Virginia and played with Holly, similar.
Correct.
You could have all the talent in the world, but if you don't have the ability to channel that talent, academically you have to also be a part of the classroom. You've got to pass the SATs. You have to be able to go in. And now, as an athlete, Neville, you know, the amount of pressure you under to perform on the field and in the classroom, you have to do that. And it's discipline that gets you there. So the family foundation, discipline, as Osborne said, coaches who have you to understand where your journey is going is key for me.
That's important. Gentlemen, I wanted to thank both of you for joining us this morning, talking a little bit about Tiger Woods. He's not dead, still alive, just had a significant injury yesterday. We're not saying he's perfect. You know, he's had his ups and downs, but his global impact is without question. Of course, you know, we had the teens and the greens tournaments here back in the day over at Carambola with Rennie Rocha back in the day. And, you know, that was because of the influence of one Eldrick Tiger Woods. And we're hoping for a recovery. And we're hoping our young people could look up to him and athletes. And we got to give the education and sports and recreation department a shout for setting up that bubble down at UVI earlier in the school year, which shows vision and shows a commitment. And we just hope that the children appreciate that kind of support from our leadership. Lieutenant Governor Asbapada, thank you very much for joining us. Former three times and two-time senator. I believe you were in the 20th and the 21st, right?
Correct.
And, of course, Doc Cole, he actually picked up where you leave off. He came in the 23rd. 24th and the 30th. Right?
Yeah.
That's it. So we good. You know what it is. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
I know we have Milton Sting and Nettle Potter.
Here it is. Sting and Nettle Potter in the 34th. In the 34th as well. Gentlemen, Sting and Nettle, I like that day. You come from Gingerland to St. Thomas with all them kind of lyrics, and we appreciate it, you know. We appreciate
it. Yeah. That's another story.
That's another We like that. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Neville.
Be good, be safe, and we'll be in contact again in the future for sure.
All right, Neville. Great blessing. You continue today.
Thank you very much, Lieutenant Governor Potter and Majority Leader Donald Duck School. Appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Blessing.
What we're going to do now is thank you very much, gentlemen, and had a nice conversation there. And I hope that the audience appreciates, the listening audience appreciates how we always try to encourage our young people to understand the importance of all of those different values. It isn't just about talent. Talent gets you into the arena. It's the discipline and the understanding of where you're at, the presence. That's a good term, presence, that keeps you in the arena. And then you got to focus on your earning capacity because, you know, we're not going to be teenagers for our entire lives, and at some point you got to support yourself. And you need that circle of support of good people around you. You know, because, you know, I'm telling you, man, the predators are out there. And don't ever, you know, think that people ain't looking to just latch on for what they can get out of you. You know, Mike Tyson is a perfect example of that. Ain't nobody could have knocked out people like Mike Tyson. He's a natural moneymaker. He's like Tiger Woods. Moneymaker. These guys, they have this charisma. The brilliance about what they do allows them to generate revenue. And if you don't have that circle around you, who cares about you? You're in trouble. What we're going to do is we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to transition to the Economic Development Authority. Got more webinars going on. Cusa Holloway and my man Jed Adaya, Jed John Hope, coming on a little bit. Thank you very much. like I said, Lieutenant Governor Potter and Majority Leader Cole will be back right after this.
Employee safety and health is essential. As the owner or manager of an organization or business, how do you keep your workplace safe and employees healthy? Help is available. UVI Safety in Paradise program provides free occupational safety and health audits of workplace hazards and programs. You'll get a free assessment, guidance, and training to help you protect your workers and reduce costs due to accidents and illness. Always confidential. Always free. For details, visit safety.uvi.edu.
I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday. It gives me great pleasure when I hear from someone like you who listens to our show and they say, you know, I was in a bad frame of mind when I got up, but I listened to your show and I'm not now. I think I can face the world. And then I heard something on your show that kind of changed my mind, changed my heart. I think that's why we're in business. Weekend Edition Saturday. Listen every weekend.
Weekend Edition Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we are not afraid to ask the big questions, even to the guy who owns the Chicago Cubs.
Well, there's a few people that just misunderstand something about, like, why beer costs $9 or something like that.
Why does beer cost $9?
Why does a starting pitcher cost $25?
We're worth what you pay for us, which is nothing. Join us for the News Quiz from NPR.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Saturdays and Sundays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we are back here to analyze this. And of course, you know, glad to have the Economic Development Authority, big shot, Cusa Holloway, joining us this morning. What's up, Cusa?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How's everything? Pa Jed Day. Jed.
I don't write that.
Jed Adaya, good morning, man. Good to hear your voice, man.
Good morning, Senator. How you doing?
I good. So, first of all, you know, we promote positivity and we want growth, economic development here in the territory. This particular show, this medium, we really into melee. We're into trying to figure out how we could get from point A to point B and sustain when we get there. The webinar that we're focusing on today, Ms. Cusa Holloway, is about what?
Well, we're focusing on two things. So, first of all, we wanted to provide you with an update of how the USVI Apparel Forum happened.
Oh, yes.
What took place and how, you know, how it kind of, you know, panned out for the night. And then we also wanted to talk about the cost and pricing webinar that we're going to have tonight at 5 to 9 p.m. So I'll let Jed talk about all the exciting news in regards to the previous webinar, because we really did have a really vibrant, engaging discussion with the individual. Jed?
Yeah, Senator James, you missed a good one, man. We had about 50 people register for the webinar.
Wow.
About 30 people stayed almost an hour after the webinar ended just because the conversation was going. There was a lot of good connections being made. We had a colleague of mine that moderated a panel. And, you know, this guy's a young, you know, young African-American guy from New York. He started brands with LL Cool J, with Puff Daddy, and, you know, he ran...
Hold up a second. Number one, you said they stayed on past the 9 o'clock because it's a 5 to 9 thing, right?
Exactly.
Correct.
So it's they stay on for another hour, so they take it close to 10, is what you're saying?
Exactly.
Correct.
Exactly.
Okay. My engineer says it's closer to 11. He said, you're being modest. He said, he said it was 10:30. Like they say in St. Thomas, like in St. Thomas, they told me it's 10:30, not 10:30, 10:30, how long people been on that night. So congratulations in that regard. Now, Jed, you just mentioned a name. You're jingling, baby. Go ahead, baby. That's who you're talking about. Yep. Is that the LL Cool J you were talking about just now?
Exactly. So,
wow.
A friend of mine from business school, he's LL Cool J right now, starting brands.
Wow.
So, you know, LL Cool J has this brand called Rock the Bells. I don't know if you remember the song.
If I remember the song, of course, though, before you born.
So it was cool to have him interact and provide the same level of, you know, expertise that he does for all these major, you know, artists and personalities to the folks in the VI. And they really appreciated that. You know, I could talk to you about a business and, you know, how to get your financials right and things like that. But how to create a brand, how to tell your story, that's you know, Rasheen's forte. And he spent a lot of time, you know, going about talking to folks how exactly to do it. So they really enjoyed that discussion.
That was awesome. So we can safely assert that last Wednesday's, or was last Wednesday or Wednesday before?
Wednesday before.
The Wednesday before. The 10th. That was an unquestioned success.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay, good. So congratulations in order to both of you and to the Economic Development Authority for this type of visionary approach as it relates to getting people to understand how we could develop a market share in certain areas. Now we're talking cost pricing today, Kusa?
Yes, we're talking cost pricing today. I think it's a really good segue into from what we learned about the branding and all of those type of things. And Jed did discuss a little bit about cost pricing in that seminar. But now this particular seminar is going to focus primarily just on cost pricing, a little bit of marketing, a little bit of branding, because it all kind of ties in together, you know, to make that profitable business. And Jed could provide a little bit more background on the particular seminar that we're going to have tonight.
Mr. John Hope.
Thanks, Kusa. Yeah, thanks. So, yeah, we're going to dive into how to adequately price yourself in the market. Definitely a lot of folks are familiar with cost-based pricing, but where you really want to be is at value-based pricing, right? You know, we want to make sure that entrepreneurs are getting compensated for the value that they're providing to the consumers. So, you know, we talk about some of the things like psychology behind pricing, how to maximize profit at the end of the day with using the same amount of resources and the same amount of effort. So it's a good discussion, and I'm glad that we're following this following the apparel forum up with the cost and pricing webinar.
The long-term goal for these webinars in general is what?
The long-term goal for the webinars is providing our entrepreneurs, small business owners within a territory with the necessary tools that they need, the information. You know, we can't go in and run your business for you and make it all perfect.
Correct.
But what we can do is provide you with the necessary tools and information that you can now apply to your business. And it's just an investment of your time. These seminars are being brought to the public at no cost at no financial cost. Let me say that before Sheldon gets on me again. No financial cost to you, but it does allow for you to have an investment of your time for your business. Not everything that is said in the webinar is going to apply to you and your business. There definitely will be bits and pieces that are going to be directly that you can use right away in your business. It'll probably send off some light bulbs, you know. In the USVI Apparel Forum, I had one of the participants, he was listening and he was like, you know, this is stuff I used to do in the beginning of my business, and he had stopped. And he said now that conversation reminded him that he needed to go back to doing some of those things to get his business back to where he really wanted it to be. Something as simple as that. You know, it doesn't mean that you're doing anything wrong. It just means that maybe you may have stopped doing something that was working because maybe it was working so well. You think, I don't need to do this anymore. Or, oh, I never thought about that. You know, I really need to implement that in my business. And that's what we're here for, to provide those support services, provide those outlets like Jed. you know, who can answer your questions and give you a definitive answer of, you know what, this is kind of the way it works. If you're looking at other models of businesses, the Amazons, the Nikes, and you want to know why they're so successful, this is kind of the platform of what they're doing. This is what they're using. And you can use it too. This is, it's not rocket science. It's not big trade secrets. You know, there's usually just a formula involved in there, and you have to be willing to commit to the formula and commit to the information.
Now, Jed, you reference Rasheen Taha is his name, right?
Correct. Yes.
And he is the founder of 7X, which is a media company that is focused on celebrating culture and showcasing greatness to the world. Young black people of color, in the entrepreneurship realm. Speak of important, because we spoke about this on my previous guest, because we were talking a bit about Tiger Woods, and you know he had that accident yesterday, and you know hopefully everything's gonna be all right. Talk about the importance of discipline in terms of getting to where you want to get and sustainability once you get there.
Man, I mean that's kind of where it all starts, man. I think at the end of the day, nobody's gifted anything. You just got to work harder than everybody else. So a lot of times when people see someone being successful, they didn't see, you know, all the hours that they spent perfecting their craft, and that it takes discipline to do that. You got to wake up every morning and grind. You look at Michael Jordan, right? You saw the game winners, but you didn't see him in the gym late at night taking all the jumpers. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with Kobe. You could talk about Kobe Bryant. You could talk about Tiger Woods. You know, that's, you know, discipline. I think that's where it all starts. And I credit the limited amount of success that I've had in my life to the discipline that my mother instilled in me growing up here in St. Croix at a very young age. You know, we used to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, get stuff done. So by the time I was going to school at 7, I was already 3 hours into my day.
Imagine that. And people take attention to detail for granted because they believe, well, talent could trump that, but talent alone can't get you where you need to go, Kusa Holloway.
No.
Go ahead, Kusa. Talent by itself is not a guarantee that you're going to be successful.
No, not at all. Talent may get you in the room, but that perseverance and that passion and that drive and that work ethic is what is going to take you to over the top. Anyone you see that has been successful, there's been a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of days that they were not with their families, a lot of times that they did not eat or drink, or because they were so focused on getting this particular product out and getting it to the world. And you know, one of the best things that Mr. Shaheen said when he was talking to them is that, you know, don't allow where you are to limit you. Meaning, your brand could be a global brand right here from in the Virgin Islands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's what they needed to hear as well. That it's not just, yes, your clothing or your brand depicts Virgin Islands culture and life and the love that we have for the VI. But that doesn't mean that someone else outside of that is not going to want that love. How many people love Brooklyn and Bed-Stuy and all these other places because Jay-Z made them love it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Nas made them love it. And or Miami or whatever. They showed that love. They showed them what was the best about the Miami, the Brooklyn, the Bronx, whatever it may be. And now everyone across the world wants something, a piece of that as well. But it takes hard work. It takes determination. It takes, you know, you taking advice a lot of times that may be contrary to what you think is best. Surrounding yourself with the right people. And also, too, like Jed said, you know, being an entrepreneur is the hardest job in the world. I give my hats off to every entrepreneur that I work with, and I never take credit. And the VIEDA never takes credit for what they develop. Why? Because we are just one little piece of that passion and that brand that they've built. We are just a conduit to help them get it out to the world.
Well, you know,
but entrepreneurs work extremely hard. They're up way before everybody else, and they're, you know, go to bed way after everybody else. and they're the last ones to get paid. They're the last ones to get the recognition. You know, it's really a labor of love when you go into something like this on your own.
Well, not only that, I remember the last time you were here, you mentioned when you commit to a business and you're employing people, you're the last person to get paid because you got to make sure people who are working for you that they get compensated. And it's those type of sacrifices and conditions under which owning a business is sustainable. That's number one. Number two, that same day, right? And Jed spoke about this earlier, where people don't see the hard work you're putting in at night or in the dark for when you're showcasing your talents in the light. That same day, I had a webinar. February 10th was the day our Virgin Islands delegate to Congress, Stacey Plaskett, was on the Senate floor. Making a name for herself outside of those who didn't know, outside the confines of Congress, who didn't even know that she existed, that the Virgin Islands actually had membership in Congress. And now she is a marketing icon because of that. You know, even in politics, you took what I'm saying? And you know why? It's because, Jed, the hard work that you're talking about, putting in the hours to prepare yourself so that when the opportunity presents itself, you take full advantage of it, Mr. John Hope.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know what I mean? And success is where, you know, preparation and luck kind of intersect.
That's right.
So you got to be prepared for when that opportunity calls. And, you know, it's not going to give you advance warning a lot of times. So you already have to put the work in to realize the success.
Because when the light come on, you go deliver the goods, you know. Because you don't know when you're going to get an opportunity again, Cusa. You really don't know.
Exactly.
That's why you got to be prepared.
Exactly.
And that's one of the things I talk to my entrepreneurs about. I said one of my jobs is to prepare you, so then that way, when those opportunities arise, you are ready. And it breaks my heart a lot of times when I'm working with an entrepreneur and things are not going exactly the way they're supposed to be, and then an opportunity arises, and then I present it to them, and they're like, I can't do that. I can't. I'm just not at that place yet. And I'm like, but we've been working on this for a year. You know, and it really does hurt my heart because they have great products. They have, you know, but if the pieces are not right, and as I alluded to the last time, when you take on this behemoth of a thing called entrepreneurship, small business ownership, and you bring employees into the mix, those employees and their families now become like your children. So they eat first. You eat after. It's a big responsibility because now you're not only responsible for your livelihood, but you're responsible for their livelihood.
That's right.
And I can tell you there's many of entrepreneurs that I've spoken to who sometimes go months, not weeks, not days, months without a paycheck to make sure that their employees are taken care of, to make sure that the building that they're working in has lights, internet, whatever the case may be, just so that way the customer can have a great guest experience. You know, people don't really know. And this is the reason why, you know, Jed has brought in, and we've also brought in different webinars and seminars that we did. When we did the small business camp for the young CEOs, targeting our kids, you know, between the ages of 13 to 22, starting to get them to think about entrepreneurship. I brought in entrepreneurs every day, at least 4 to 5 entrepreneurs, young entrepreneurs, to speak to them about what it is like to really be an entrepreneur. So that way they start thinking about it and formalizing it, because a lot of them like to say, oh, I want to be my own boss. I don't want, because they figure if I'm my own boss, nobody tells me what to do. And that's it. That's all they want. They just don't want anyone to tell them what to do. But it's a lot more entailed than that.
We
really need to know the reality of it.
That's right. Well, when we come back from this break, there are a couple of things I want to touch on. Number one, the details for tonight's webinar, what we're hoping to accomplish, number one. And then number two, I want to talk about another dynamic that I'm curious if the EDA has factored this in, which is there are those who are just intimidated by the bright lights. They might actually be prepared, but they need that final push from somebody to let them know, look, you could do it. And I want to talk about that dynamic as well. We got Cusa Holloway and Jedediah Jed John Hope from the Virgin Islands Economic Development Authority with the webinar series. We'll be back right after this.
Resolutions. New financial plan. At Bank of St. Croix, we offer a suite of consumer and business services, including home and auto loans. With online banking, you can bank with us from anywhere 24/7. Bank of St. Croix has two locations, one in Gallows Bay, 340-773-8500, and one in Peters Rest, 340-713-8500. Bank of St. Croix. BankofStCroix.com.
Hey, this is Carlos. I work for the government of the Virgin Islands and love serving my neighbors, my community. The coronavirus has changed everything, especially how our department does its job. Our supervisor told me the other day that the vaccine is available to all employees. I was hesitant at first, but I know that safety, yours and mine, is still a priority. I shared the information with my coworkers, even checked vitima.vi.gov about the whole process. We decided to call the boss, sign up for the appointment right from work, and got on the schedule for the next week. So help me spread the word. Let your people them know. Signing up for the shot was quick, easy, and will save lives. Choose to be part of a solution. We're taking our best shot against COVID-19. Get the vaccine.
Presented by the Office of the Governor, Vitima, and the Department of Health.
And we are back here to analyze this, and we've got the Economic Development Authority. Tonight's webinar is focusing on cost pricing, but we touched on something earlier, right? And I want to talk about this, Cusa, right? Because you mentioned it. Because we talk about, Jed mentioned, where hard work and opportunity comes together. That's how sometimes success actually is realized. And you've spoken to entrepreneurs and you put in the hard work, and when the hour presents itself, ain't happening. In fairness to some people, Cusa, because I've seen it. I've seen intelligent, intellectual Virgin Islanders seek public office, and then when we go to forums, they freeze up because of there's a human side to them where they can't handle that particular forum and all that. How do we instill a level of confidence in people to not be intimidated and understand that success sometimes will come from failure?
That's a really good question and a really good comment, segue. And we do talk about that when I do have those conversations with my entrepreneurs when we meet with them. One of the things I tell them is, not because you're an entrepreneur, that means you need to be the face of your business. Sometimes you need to know what role you will play in that business. So, case in point, like say someone who's creating a certain type of product, right? Now, they're great at making that sauce or that bread or whatever, but they're so shy or intimidated by dealing with customers, or they just may not have that that soothing, you know, comforting voice to talk to people that are a little bit more on the rougher side, but they are excellent at perfecting recipes, the baking, the packaging, then that's where you probably need to stay. A lot of entrepreneurs make the mistake that they have to do everything.
Correct.
And if you look at a lot of businesses that have thrived, big or small, that person who has been the engine behind the product or whatever it is has figured out what they're best at, and they stay in that role. So they don't go and take on the accounting. They don't go and take on the marketing. They're not the customer service person because they're not very organized to take orders and things like that. But when it comes to manufacturing that product or making that product, that's where they excel. And that's what I try to tell a lot of our entrepreneurs. Now, can everybody afford a team of 10 people to do those things? Of course not. But however, you can make it work. You can definitely make it work where you can focus on what makes you happy and what needs to be done. You don't have to hire a full-time accountant. You can get a bookkeeper who comes once every month or once every 2 weeks to just make sure that your bills are paid, your invoices are getting sent out. You know, and a lot of people don't know that. You don't have to hire somebody full-time. You can have someone who just comes in, and they can come in. It'll take you 2-3 weeks. They can do it in an hour. You know, marketing, the same thing. You can contract with a company and say, hey, you know, I need this type of marketing. I need this stuff posted to my social media platform. And you pay them just for those services instead of you having to bring on maybe a full-time person. So it's really about figuring out where you can fit in. It's just like you said, you know, you have some great, talented minds who maybe have political aspirations. But once they get on that stage, they climb up. Mm-hmm. They can't speak. They can't articulate anything. They're just kind of babbling. But maybe that's not where you need to be. Maybe you need to be someone's campaign manager.
Yes, sir.
Maybe you need to be someone's chief researcher, or where you're still in the realm of politics, but you're just not at the forefront.
Man, that's a perfect answer. Jed, you want to dovetail on that?
On that note, I mean, a lot of great politicians have great PR people, right? And it's on your PR people to limit the things that you're not good at. You know, they say that the last president, you know, he wasn't good at certain things, but Twitter, he was very good at. getting his message across via Twitter. So that's how he shined, and he maximized and got to his base via that. So, you know, I think that's all part of the process, is learning what you're good at and what you're not. And like Kusa said, sometimes you have to delegate it or outsource it. But that doesn't mean that you can't do it. You just got to be prepared.
Exactly. And one of the mistakes that we've seen over the years is the good business people, they're not interested in who is getting credit. They just want the product to be successful. Then there's that other group where I want the product to be successful, and I want to get all the credit for it, and I want to be the one who people know about. And in some instances, that works, but in a lot of instances, more often than not, it does not.
And you know what? It's funny you say that, because, you know, at the beginning of every class, you know, we set the ground rules, and we say that, you know, every business, the goal is to maximize profit. You know, we can argue a little bit about how you go about doing that, but, you know, at the end of the day, if your business is better off, you know, with somebody else, you know, taking the leadership role and being the public-facing person, you know, that's good. That's good for you, because at the end of the day, that brings more money into the business. What do you need to, you know, why do you need the press or the, you know, all the glamour shots on top of making the money, right? Like, that's not, you know, that may be detrimental to your business.
And it actually shows that you're not into ultimately the business being successful. You're looking for glory, and glory don't pay bills. You know what I'm saying? You got to generate revenue.
Exactly.
You got to generate revenue to meet the obligation. So let's talk about what we're hoping to accomplish tonight. Give me the details and how we go about accessing it. Cusa Holloway.
Sure. So tonight we'll be talking about cost and pricing strategies from 5 to 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to any one of our social media platforms and you can register on there, or you can even go to our website, usvieda.org, and on our landing page, it will be a big red banner on the front. You can't miss it, where you can click and it'll take you straight to the registration. And I'll push it over to Jed so he can tell you exactly all of the elements that'll be talked about tonight under the cost pricing strategies.
Mr. John Hope.
Yes, thanks, Lisa. So, you know, first we're going to start with a general discussion about strategy. Then we're going to talk about different, pricing strategies. There's probably about 10 that we're going to run through with some examples. And then we're also going to talk about the psychology of pricing and how you can maximize kind of bang for the buck And then the last part of the class is always a panel. So we have four guests that will come in, and we'll talk about different things. So a little bit of pricing, but a little bit about, what it is to be an entrepreneur. And, I think it'll be a robust discussion. Everybody always appreciates the panel discussion.
Well, that part about it, is actually where they actually start being a business person, because they're talking to potential competitors. And communication is so critical. You can't downplay how important it is to be able to communicate, not only with your employees, but with your clients. Cusa.
Absolutely. Just knowing how to build that cost, so that way you're not cheating yourself. It's very hard. And Jed spoke on this at the last thing. Don't be afraid to put a price to your, an appropriate price to your product. It's very hard to sell a t-shirt at $20 and you're losing money considerably to then now shoot it up to $50.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the kind of things you have to think about when you're about to start a business. What am I going to price this at so I can create revenue, that I can keep my lights on, I can continue to order product, I can continue to pay my internet, I can continue to pay the printers to print it, whatever it may be. But all of those costs really need to be involved into the price of that particular t-shirt, So.
Text question from one of our listeners. Good morning, mm-hmm. Professor Luciano. Will the webinars be recorded, number one, and number two, are previous ones available?
Yes, they can go to our website, and all of the previous webinars, first of all, yes, they are recorded. And we also post the PowerPoint slides from the sessions, and they're all posted on our website, usvieda.org. You can go there, and all of them are there. And even some of the previous webinars that we've done with EDA in regard to small business assistance through the pandemic with SBA, with American Disabilities Act. A lot of our webinars, we always record them and post them for future use.
Now, let me ask this question. The last time we spoke, you mentioned a 3 or 4 month program that EDA is sponsoring as well, starting this month or next month?
Oh, it actually started this month, and it's going to be going until April, and it's our e-marketing courses,
e-marketing,
which are
correct.
Free to the public. There's no cost. All you have to do is give us about an hour or so of your time, and I believe it's every week they have a different topic that they're doing. And you can go to our website to register for those classes as well.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank both of you for making yourself available, and also commend the Economic Development Authority for offering these services to the people of the Virgin Islands and encouraging entrepreneurship, in particular at a time where we're dealing with a pandemic and communicating remotely and virtually is actually a way of life going forward. And this actually, these seminars actually work to our benefit, because let's face it, we don't know what the new normal is going to be. We're assuming we know what it is, but we know one thing. It's not going to be the same after experiencing this pandemic, Ms. Holloway.
Absolutely. The way we've been doing business and the way that our small business community has had to pivot and shift and just be a little bit more innovative in the way that they're doing things, it's so nice to see a lot of our small businesses actually proactively using social media and the internet now to really sell their product, which some of them before felt that they needed actual brick and mortar place, and trying to tell them, no, you don't need a storefront. You can run this, less overhead. And, and now, they've been able to see that, I can run this business from my home and just set up a home office and, mm-hmm. And make more money that way, because now you don't have to pay WAPA. You don't have to pay VIA. At least a separate bill of that sort. And then, of course, pay the rent and then build out this space. But you can really get a good following through just building it out of a home-based business. You're still a business if you're a home-based business. You are no less than anyone else. And then now once you have that solid customer base, now you can probably think about maybe doing a actual brick and mortar place that mm-hmm. now, because now you have the customers to sustain that particular venture. You know, so it's really nice to see that they've really used their minds and innovation and tried to see how social media and the internet can help them as well. And also partnering. You've seen a lot of partnering going on with the entrepreneurs. A lot of them partnering and saying, okay, well, you know what, I'll I have a storefront, I'll give you a little section mm-hmm. here. And that's what they need, you know. Support. Create your own support, you know, small business ecosystem, entrepreneurial ecosystem that you guys can play off of each other. It's not about being in competition, because there's really no competition if you're doing something a very unique way, even if you're just making rice.
And of course, you know, Jed, in sports, they say sometimes the best offense is a great defense, and the best defense is a great offense. And Cusa just touched on something. Sometimes the way to make money is to save money.
Exactly. We talk about that in the forum as well. Walmart is probably the best out there controlling prices. You know, Sam Walton's philosophy is, you know, control your costs better than your competitors. And that becomes your competitive advantage.
That's right. It ain't just about the price of the commodity. Sometimes if you could cut costs, you could make money. And that's also important. I want to thank both of you for making yourself available. Thank you to the Economic Development Authority. Good luck tonight with tonight's webinar. And don't forget, for those of you, there is an e-marketing ongoing course going on with EDA. Just log on to the website, click the appropriate links, and be a part of that. Jed, John Hope, and Cusa Holloway, thank you very much for joining us today here on Analyze This.
Thank you so much for having us, Neville. It's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure to have you as well. Thank you very much to both of you, and continued success in our small businesses, who are the backbone of our economic template here in the Virgin Islands and throughout America. You know, today's show was a great show. Thank you very much, Zoe Zimmet, for setting this up, and we appreciate that. Of course, you know, we have a heavy heart. One of ours here at WTJX has lost someone near and dear, and that one got us kind of shook, you know? So bear with us over the next couple of days and weeks in dealing with that, because that's the reality of life. And seeing one of yours hurting and grieving ain't easy to deal with, you know? I mean, it affects all of us. So I just wanted to let that particular person know, without, you know, divulging, you know, that they are in our thoughts and prayers, and you know, we love you, and it's going to be all right. We know you're hurting, but reach out to us if you need anything, because that's what we there for, right? And I'm actually heading out to show my face at a memorial service in a little bit. One of the voices of St. Croix, Malcolm Evans, yeah, they got a service for him, his funeral today. Taking place today, so I definitely got to go show my face there, because I remember my father's funeral when he sang, you know, "Let Me Bow Like a Child." Okay, he's one of the great voices here in the Virgin Islands, not just in Croy, in the Virgin Islands, Malcolm Evans. And he passed away a while back. I don't know if it was earlier this month or late last month, but I heard about it on a Friday, because I was here in the studio. And my good friend Willa John texted me to let me know word had come. So, you know, we hurting. And when we go through all these numbers every day, you know, the COVID-related losses, we don't want the public to think that they are any more important or valuable because they may have, suffered from the pandemic. Our loss of life is a painful reality that we have to deal with. On that note, we're going to close up shop. See you again tomorrow morning. 8 o'clock. Until then, be good and be safe. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.